BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history. But fortunately for us, God wrote it down, all in His prophecies, what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective. For without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, religion come through to the device that you're watching us on. Let me introduce the Sledgehammer Show tonight. This is Sledgehammer Show number 412. It is called The Upside Down World. Beneficiaries of Christian tolerance have become intolerant of Christians who extended tolerance to them. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people following the Word of God from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. You can come out any Saturday. That's Saturday at 11 a.m. to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. You don't have to be Jewish to come and worship with us. You just have to desire to follow the truth. That's once again, come out to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Let me put up the streaming page. We're now streaming on Facebook Live right now. We're going out to Telegram. We're going out to Rumble. We're going out to YeshuaTube. We're going out to thesledgehammershow.com. So check out all those things and spread the links. And if you're on one of the other ones, sign up, subscribe to our Telegram page. That's t.me/BGMCTV. Okay, Facebook, Andrew Dinnerman. I'm trying to change it to BGMCTV, but I don't know how. I'm not great with Facebook, so maybe Ben, you can help me out with that. I know you're a Instagram man. All right, so let's see what else we got here. Okay, so come out to the congregation. Send us an email at info@thesledgehammershow.com and tell us if you love the show, hate the show, but spread the links to wherever you can and spread this information out. And if you would love to support the show, you can send a tax deductible check or money order to Beth Goyim. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's Beth Goyim, 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Once again, I'm joined on the line by my good friend, the Floridian, the DeSantis man down there, none other than Ben Jimenez III. Ben Jimenez III. As we start the show off, the Sledgehammer Show is different than many other shows because, I've seen, Christians, they say they love the Word of, they love God, they love the Word of God, but it doesn't really float too well. So what we're going to look at here is something from 1776, June 12th, 1776. It is the mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity towards each other. The phrase Christian forbearance, love, and charity is an appeal for citizens to follow the biblical Judeo-Christian teachings of love your enemies. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. It was unanticipated by the founders that someone would take advantage of Christian forbearance and later bully, intimidate, and spread intolerance of Christians. Yet, nevertheless, this has occurred with aggressive promotion of secularism, atheism, communism, critical race theory, equity, Sharia, transgenderism, and Satanism. Okay, so what we're going to be talking about in this show is based on this first slide that we got up here talking about the show, how this forbearance of love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemies, you know, the teaching that Yeshua, our Messiah, taught us, you know, to love your enemies, you know, do things that are really difficult. And we really need to understand how this putting up with people has now turned into them bullying us, intimidation of the masses by these people that don't believe in God. They don't tolerate our beliefs, the beliefs that founded this nation. We got secularism, atheism, critical race theory. These people are just morons, but we've allowed these morons to take over our nation and, unfortunately, take over the world. So we're going to start there. Let me get over to here. Let's see here. I changed some things around. And let me bring on my good friend Ben. Ben, what do you think about this? You know, we've allowed, you know, they've taken advantage of us being nice. They've taken advantage of love your neighbor as yourself. They've taken advantage of, you know, love your enemies. Where do we draw the line, and where do we stop this? What do you think, Ben?
Well, this is a prime example of moving your neighbor's boundary stone, or his boundary marker. Out of the Christian or the follower of Messiah, practicing what Messiah preached, as far as you know, the golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's actually it is a commandment. You know, the first commandment and the greatest commandment is to love God above all, and then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you know, we can go into a discourse of what does that mean, but what we see in the love your neighbor, love your enemies, you know, is where they take advantage of the fact that we're trying to keep the peace, and they in turn turn it around, and because we're commanded to love them, they try to take advantage of that and force their views, their thoughts, their and their ways, their ways of thinking, their thoughts, and they push that agenda on us by bringing in division, because that's the only way that the enemy can conquer the unity of the love that we have for Messiah. And it's through the critical race theory, through secularism, through atheism, through communism, through all the isms, transgenderism, Satanism, and let's not, you know, forget transhumanism. You know, all the isms that are in existence are meant to keep us divided and to keep us away from our Creator.
Yeah, this is something that is very, very apparent, that they want to take advantage of our being nice. And that's what we're going to... Now, did the forefathers know about this? Did they foresee it? And what we're going to look at tonight is that information. But we're first going to start out with news stories to confirm what we just read from the 1776. In Yochanan, John 17, verse 14, Yeshua, our Messiah, says, "I have given them your word, And the world hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I myself do not belong to the world. Yeshua, our Messiah, says we're going to be hated for following him. Now, look at this story. Look at this story. Man wearing, okay, we'll use the Gentile understanding of his name, Jesus Saves t-shirt at Mall of America, that's in Minnesota, ordered to take it off or leave. I mean, just the headline, and it's not clickbait, okay? You know, sometimes you get headlines and it's clickbait, but a man wearing a Jesus Saves t-shirt was ordered to remove the clothing or leave the Mall of America. Last weekend, in a video that has gone viral on social media, a security guard at the nation's most famous shopping center in Minnesota can be heard telling the man, if you want to shop here, you need to take off that shirt. Let's go on with more of the article. It also says, after another clip shows the same guard saying, Jesus is associated with religion and it is offending people. People have been offended. A spokesman for the Mall of America told DailyMail.com that the man was allowed to remain in the mall following the interaction while still wearing his shirt. This is despite the fact guards can clearly be heard threatening to kick him out. You know, this is amazing where we've come to as a nation. You know, we started off with, you know, following God, and we're going to get into, you know, other things that the founding fathers said, and we really need to understand this, how far it has gone, how far, you know, where, you know, you're wearing a shirt that says Jesus is the only way on the back. You're wearing a shirt that says Jesus is the only way on the back, and, you know, people are saying it offends him. You know, there's lots of things that offend me. You know, just hearing people talk, you know, using profanity. Women, you know, in the nicer, when the weather is nicer, walking around pretty much naked. That offends me, okay? People using the name of the Lord in vain. That offends me, okay? People, you know, cross-dressing. That offends me. Men dressing in women's clothes, that offends me, and it's disgusting to our God. It's an abomination. So, but we're supposed to live in a free society, you know, where you can have, you know, what my mother always said,
as long as it's not hurting me, I don't really care.
Okay, so we're having a mall cop, okay, so everybody's going back to that. I haven't watched that movie, but because it was just too stupid, okay, you know, mall cop, okay, telling this guy he's got to take off his shirt. This is insane, Ben, that somebody wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus Saves would cause the mall police to tell this guy to either remove his shirt or leave the mall. What's your two shekels on this ridiculous story?
Well, this is where we can actually see what the prophet Yeshayahu or Isaiah had spoken about, that in the end times, good will be called evil and evil will be called good. Now, this man isn't offending anybody by wearing a shirt, because there's people out there that wear more offensive shirts, you know, with vulgar vocabulary, and nobody says anything to them. The fact that it says Jesus is what really offends them, because it's like Yeshua has said, they're going to hate us because of that light that's within us. You know, the light that's within us is revealing the darkness in them. You know, and what does first couple of verses of the Gospel of John say? You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, and nothing that was created wasn't created, you know, without him. And you know, he is the light. He is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. You know, it can't overtake it. Once the light it appears, that's it. Once you turn on the switch and you turn on the light, whoops, I see everything. And that's the same thing that is happening all over the country. People who are walking in the way of righteousness shed that light. They shed that light of truth. And nobody wants to hear the truth, because the truth is offensive, because the truth gets straight to the point. It doesn't lollygag, it doesn't cut any corners, and it doesn't sugarcoat anything. And we also see where Paul had written to Timothy and said that, you know, that in the end, the people are going to want to hear that tickly ear message, you know? It's just amazing how, you know, we're living in a very interesting and for lack of a better word, a historical moment, and we're seeing the word of God actually come to life, declaring everything that is being said, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. But people, and the word of God says this as well, that people are going to see this, people are going to get offended, people are going to speak the truth, and nobody wants to hear it. All they're going to do is shake their fists at God for everything that's happening and blame him for it. But he already warned us. But we, like sheep, you know, we don't want to lead anybody. We want to follow. We're more comfortable following than we are leading. That's why that those who are going to enter heaven are nothing more and nothing less than a remnant.
Yeah, it's quite amazing how, you know, somebody wearing a t-shirt, you know, could have, you know, caused people to go and get the police, you know, the mall police. You know, that's what I found really fascinating to this story, that, you know, they went and got the mall police to say, you know, and it's being recorded. I mean, you know, there's nothing that isn't recorded. Once something starts happening, everybody's always got their phone out, and, you know, the mall cop says Jesus is associated with religion and it is offending people, and, you know, it's my responsibility, and I care. I don't give a damn if you're offended, okay? That's really what we need to start really talking about, is that we should not be really care. We should care if our God is offended. That's what we should be thinking about. Is our King, is our God offended? And that's what we really need to be thinking about, and that's what we're focusing in on this show. So let's now bring in the next story, because we're going to then do history after that. Okay, teach your children at home. Devarim, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. You are to teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit at home, when you're traveling on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. This is talking about the laws of God. Okay, now in this story, Minnesota poised to ban Christians and Jews from teaching in public schools. Our whole public school system was designed and formulated on the scriptures. The first books that we were using in the Bible, in the school, was the Bible. So new licensing rules in Minnesota that require teachers to affirm students' transgender identities. Minnesota will soon ban faithful Christians and Jews from teaching in public schools by requiring that every state certified teacher fosters an environment that ensures student identities such as gender identity are affirmed. Let's see if I got more to this story. Okay. We have lots of parents. Now look at this, everybody. We have lots of parents who are upset by this sort of thing in schools already. said Doug Seaton, president of Minnesota's Upper Midwest Law Center. In an interview there, they're going to be even more upset with how their teachers are going to be licensed. Their teachers are going to have to be faced with hiding their beliefs or getting denied for a state teaching license. This is really something amazing. So basically, what they're doing in Minnesota, and this is how we are not the United States anymore at all. Okay, if you hold the beliefs of the Judeo-Christian Bible, that's the Bible from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. And in that Bible, in Leviticus 18, and in Romans 1, and Revelation 22, it affirms that homosexuality is against the plan of the Lord. And also Genesis 2, man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Okay, so if you're affirming the beliefs that the creator of the universe handed down to us, then you're not going to be able to be a teacher in Minnesota because you're not going to be able to get your teacher's license. So what they're going to have in the school systems, I mean, and this is going to be challenged in the courts, and it should be the people that decide. And, you know, sadly, the people, you know, we have some evil, disgusting people in our government in Minnesota, okay? But it shouldn't even be the legislature. It should be, you know, we should all go vote on it. You know, you have to have an ID and go vote on it, okay? And don't think that any one particular group is too stupid to get an identification. You need one to get a driver's license, okay? You need ID to buy alcohol in most states, okay? So this is amazing, Ben, where they're stripping the school system of people who believe in God. They want a secular. I mean, if you believe in the Bible, you shouldn't even be sending your kids to public school. But some people find God afterwards, and they're divorced, and they have those other situations where they can't homeschool. But if you can homeschool, homeschool your children. That's what God told you to do. But in Minnesota, I mean, they're stripping God out of the school system because they want to grow up a generation that they can program. Isn't this amazing, Ben, how they're stripping the school systems of anybody who believes in God?
Well, I mean, it really comes as no surprise because, you know, I believe it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt that said, "I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers." You know, and the fact that you know, they're attacking not only our First Amendment rights, you know, to free speech, they're also, you know, putting us in that position where Yeshua had stated, "Those who deny me in front of men, I will deny them in front of the Father." And to be able to get your license, they have to, you know, deny the fact that they believe, you know, so that they can so-called work. I mean, we saw this happening during the time of the Inquisition, you know, where the Marranos in the Iberian Peninsula, or the Jews that were, you know, trying to follow behind the backs of the Catholic Church, were brought into you know, private courts and private, you know, judgment, you know, because they wouldn't go into they'd go into the butcher shops and they wouldn't buy pork. So they wouldn't eat pork, so the butchers would report them to the Catholic, the archdiocese, and they were judged on this, and we're seeing this happen all over again. You know, we saw it happen in World War II, where, you know, they were their arms were taken away from them with the promise that the government would protect them. And, you know, so they ceded to them. But this here is a prime example that we are in the end times, you know. That we're actually in the end times, and the time is being cut very short because of where we're at on the timeline.
Yeah, this is very interesting how we are at the end of the timeline, and many things are occurring that are very troubling, and the Founding Fathers could not even fathom this level of hatred and stuff like that. So let's bring on the third story, okay? And then we're going to get into our history lesson, which is very important. In Shemot Exodus 34, verse 15, Jehovah said, "Do not make a covenant with the people living in the land. It will cause you to go astray after their gods and sacrifice to their gods. Then they will invite you to join them in eating in their sacrifices." Okay, so Jehovah warned us to not be like the pagans. Okay, so let's take a look at this story. Look at this story. Detroit area city with large Muslim population approves animal sacrifices for religious reasons. Residents of a Detroit area community with a large Muslim population can sacrifice animals at home for religious reasons. The Hamtramck City Council explicitly approved the practice 3-2 Tuesday, another step in recognizing a cultural shift in a city where the 20th century history was shaped by Polish immigrants. Let me bring on the rest of the story here. The Hamtramck Council in December had voted to continue a ban on animal slaughter, but reversed course, at least for religious reasons, after legal advice and objections from people who follow the Islamic faith. The Detroit Free Press reported, "If somebody wants to do it, they have the right to do their practice," Councilmember Mohammed Hassan said. Del Walid, director of Michigan branch of the Council on American Islamic Relations, said it's not something new or novel. It's not something new or novel? The Founding Fathers could not have fathomed that Islam would be part of our nation, because, you know, our Navy and the first Marines were called to duty because on the Barbary Coast, you know, the Marine song, from the shores of Tripoli.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of
Tripoli. Yeah, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Well, Tripoli is in Africa. It is a Muslim country, and they were robbing our ships and taking our people slaves, so we had to get the Marines, our first Marines, to go over there and get everybody back. But now, since the abomination, we've brought them here, and now in the Detroit suburb, Ben, in the Detroit suburb, they're now allowed to have sacrifices to the moon god, have sacrifices to the fake Muslim god. There's only one god in the universe, and that's the god of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And his name is Jehovah. He is the eternal one, the existing one. Blessed be his glorious name. So now, in the Founding Fathers could not have fathomed this disgusting, you know, sacrifices going up to the moon god in the center of our nation, in a Detroit suburb. This, and we're not doing, I mean, we're doing sacrifices here, in North Carolina, you know, Rob Will has built an altar, and there's other altars here. We are sacrificing to our God, but that's part of our Bible. But to sacrifice to the moon god? What do you think about this, Ben, about these sacrifices being okayed by the government in this suburb of Detroit?
This just reaffirms what I've been saying for the longest time. You know, we see the gentleman who was in the Mall of America, and he was told to take off his shirt because it said Jesus saves, and that, you know, is offensive to everyone. But yet here, you know, the country is starting to lean towards another group of people and allow them the freedom of religion that we so, you know, fought for, you know, from the founding of this country, so that we would be free to practice what it is that we believe in, you know. But what we believe in now is offensive to everybody else, but what everybody else believes in is being pushed on us. We have to accept it. And unless we stand up, you know, in spiritual battle and at spiritual attention for, you know, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the heavenly armies, this is going to continue. And they are going to shut our mouths more and more. The more silent that we keep, the more that they are going to trample upon us and push their agenda to eliminate the fact that we believe in the one true God.
Yeah, it's quite amazing what's going on, how what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 5:20, in the end, evil will be called good and good will be called evil. So it's amazing that everything that was part of the founding of America, what made America great, what made America what it is today, is now gone. And we need to look at history to know what is coming next, because those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it. You know, and I put something up here. It says, did America start out like this? Those that don't study history are doomed to repeat it. Those that allow the words of Scripture to be removed from our nation will pay a heavy price. So let's look at what the founding fathers and, you know, let's look at how things began. And this is an amazing information. In 1864, Nevada became the 36th U.S. state. With its original constitution, the preamble said, "We the people of the state of Nevada, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom in order to secure its blessings, ensure domestic tranquility, and form a more perfect government, do establish this constitution. All men are by nature free and equal, and have certain inalienable rights, among which are those of enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and pursuing and obtaining safety and happiness." Let me add to that part there also. Nevada's constitution continued, "The free exercise and enjoyment of religious profession and worship without discrimination or preference shall forever be allowed, but the liberty of conscience hereby secured shall not be construed as to exercise acts of lasciviousness," that's sexual immorality. Well, that's certainly going on today with the grooming of our children, the ripping off of their genitalia, their ripping off of healthy breasts of young women's bodies, to removing their uteruses and their eggs so that they can't reproduce. But look at where it started in 1864. You know, there weren't Muslims here. That we didn't have to think of all those people. And we've extended, you know, kindness to these people. And now they're pushing their garbage, you know, from their garbage countries onto what we had originally. But now, because we don't follow God, because our pulpits don't follow God and don't preach the truth, they don't, you know, follow the laws that are stated. So in 1864, Nevada became the 36th U.S. state with its original constitution. In the preamble, it said, "We, the people of the state of Nevada, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom in order to secure its blessings." So what they were doing was thanking the Lord. Okay? They're not thanking the moon god. They're not thanking the tree god. They're thanking the God of all creation, the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Okay? So they're making that promise, and they're thanking him, and then they're coveting to him that all men by nature are free and equal, and they have rights. Okay, so how did it get to this point? How did it get to breaking down that we're now a nation that lets everything be lifted up? Homosexuality, transgenderism, transhumanism, you know, people can be cats, dogs, mice, men, women. You can go into whatever bathroom you want. We have those fights all starting again. You have the Sharia masks coming on again. You know, it's not a mask, it's a Sharia mask. They want to put you in a mask just like Sharia law. And as we see, you know, in Islam, you know, in the Detroit area suburb, they're offering sacrifices to the moon god. So Ben, the founding fathers could not have foreseen this, that saying, let me bring it back up again. What they said here, they could not fathom that the Almighty God would be, you know, the moon god, that the Islam would say their Almighty God, you know. So isn't this amazing how far we've come in really a relatively short amount of time? What do you think of this Nevada Constitution, Ben?
Well, I mean, we've gotten to this point simply because we've allowed the boundary stone to be moved. And it always goes back to that boundary marker, to that landmarker that says, you know, this is the line, do not cross it. And the fact that, you know, all this is happening is, it's not just all of a sudden happening. They've been at this for the longest time. And the founding fathers knew this because the pilgrims had escaped from you know, tyrannical government, from false religion. That's why they came here. They left their land so that they can practice the Bible the way that the Bible says to walk, you know. But because, you know, we've allowed people's opinions to rule rather than God's word to rule, you know, it's been a pushback throughout time. I mean, there was a time where Christmas was outlawed here in this country. You know, that it was forbidden to be practiced, and simply because, number one, it's not found in the Bible. Number two, you know, Yeshua wasn't born in the middle of winter because the shepherds would bring their sheep out in the bitter cold. But, you know, people...
Well, they had a nice wool coat.
Well, yeah, but still, you know, they you know, when they saw the star of the announcement of Yeshua's birth, they were in the field at the time. you know, and but because we've sought to change the word of God through our own interpretation of our feelings, you know, it's been distorted. So little by little, you know, because one person says this means one thing, the other person says this means the other, instead of coming together and seeking the guidance of the Ruach HaKodesh, you know, there's division. So here we go back to the division. You know, Christianity has how many different denominations? You know, just like, you know, Judaism has how many different denominations or different sects? You know, you have the ultra Orthodox, the ultra Orthodox, the Orthodox, the Reformed, the you know, the secular, there's so many. And then you have the Karaite, the Reformed,
the gay Reform now.
Well, yeah, it just goes to show that what the enemy has been doing has been working, because instead of, you know, us being echad, you know, we're divided. We're divided, and because we're afraid to offend somebody with the truth, we allow their opinion to rule over us. And that's what's brought us to this point, you know? I mean, when you put in your constitution, you know, that we're thank God for the freedom that He's given us, you know, and that we're after His blessings, you know, it says something. But words are one thing and actions are another. Unless we live our lives and that our lives measure up to what we believe in, it's all gonna go down the drain, because there is no one who stand firm and put their throats to the sword and declare that they are firm believers in what God said, you know?
Yeah, it's quite amazing what God said and how we've slid down into the miry muck. Let's get some more history to really see where we should look to go back to. George Mason drafted the Virginia Declaration of Rights, which was adopted by Virginia's legislature on June 12, 1776. James Madison assisted Mason in composing Article 16 of the Declaration. Religion, or the duty which we owe to our Creator, and the manner of discharging it, can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force and violence. That's very true. We can't force somebody to believe in God, but we can stop them from trying to promote a pagan God. Okay, we can, religion or the duty which we owe to our Creator. Now they're specifically talking about the Creator of the Judeo-Christian faith. Okay, Jews that don't know the Messiah are incomplete. Gentiles who come to know the Jewish Messiah are messianic. They believe in the Messiah. Okay, so the religion or the duty which we owe to our Creator and the manner of discharging it can be directed only by reason and conviction. Okay, once you lose that conviction, then everything goes into the toilet. Let's read a little bit more about what the Founding Fathers wrote. It is a mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance. This is where we started off earlier in the show. Love and charity towards each other. The phrase Christian forbearance, love and charity, is an appeal for citizens to follow the biblical Judeo-Christian teaching of love your enemies, do unto others as would have do unto you. It was unanticipated by the founders that someone would take advantage of Christian forbearance to later bully, intimidate, and spread intolerance of Christians. Yet nevertheless, this has occurred with aggressive promotion of secularism, atheism, communism, critical race theory, equity, Sharia, transgenderism, and Satanism, and as you said earlier, Ben, all the other isms. Okay, it's quite amazing what has transpired and how it really seems to me that it's like we're on a roller coaster, and the roller coaster has gone over the top, you know, where you go up to that big, the first hill, you go over that big first hill, and you've now picked up tremendous amount of speed, and you're about, we're like out of control. What I see is we're totally out of control in, because we've moved the boundary stone, as you said earlier. The pulpit is not doing its job. We're afraid to proclaim the Messiah. We're afraid, you know, the mall cop that said, you know, you offended somebody, he should be arrested because he's breaking the First Amendment. We have the right of freedom of speech. And if you don't like it, as you've said in past shows, then don't listen. Turn on another radio station. I didn't like Howard Stern when I lived in New York, and I don't listen to him now. He's one dumb Jew, and I can say that because I'm a Jew. Okay? He's a Jew that doesn't know his Messiah. He doesn't even know his God. But I don't listen to him. There's other radio stations to listen to. You don't even have to listen to the radio. But as for following God, we need to really get back to the scriptures. And we need to be, you know, we need to become like Maccabees. And, you know, we might not forcibly convert people, but we need to take their land and get rid of them. What do you think of this next part of what we saw there, Ben?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, this is nothing more and nothing less than them trying to get rid of God. You know, with everything that's been going on, if people can't see, you know, that we're at a time right now where it's critical to the salvation of our souls, whether or not we are going to stand firm and admit that we believe in Messiah. You know, if we believe in Yeshua as Messiah, you know, that he was born, came in the flesh, he was crucified, you know, died, resurrected on the third day, and he's coming back. He's coming back for his people, for his bride. You know, we need to stand firm and be able to admit that even unto death. You know, because if we die for our belief, then we live. But if we sell our freedom for a bit of security, as Jefferson said, we deserve neither, you know? And I'm gonna tell you what, with the way things have been going on, you know, from when I became into existence, I don't wanna stay here. If I have to die because I am not going to renounce my faith in Messiah, then so be it. Then I die, you know? And then judgment comes, and then it's whatever. From that point on, I have no control. Right now, I have control. We all have that control. And what we have to do is we have to stand firm. Stand firm, deep-rooted in Torah, deep-rooted in the 613, because let me tell you something, the winds of change are coming, and they are coming strong, and whoever's not deep-rooted into the word is going to be taken away.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And many of that don't believe in the word are going to be taken away. I mean, Yeshua talks about a great persecution coming, and that's something that we need to really look at, that there's going to be a great persecution coming. And, you know, there's a lot of church people that say, you know, there's going to be revival. Revival doesn't happen without repentance, okay? That's what they don't understand. And, you know, it's, we've talked about it a number of times on this show. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people call by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. Okay, you have to repent before revival can happen. There's no revival without repentance. So let's look at what else Mason wrote. Mason refused to sign the U.S. Constitution because it did not put enough limits on the new federal government. Our federal government is definitely out of hand now. Stating there's no declaration of rights and the laws of the general government being paramount to the laws of the Constitution of the several states, the declaration of rights in the separate states are no security. Henry stated on June 16, 1788, "The necessity of the Bill of Rights appears to me to be greater in this government than ever it was in any government before." He added, "I dread that our rights are about to be given away." I mean, this is prophetic, because what the federal government has done now is strip the rights. You know, the moron federal government, you know, saying you can't have any gas stoves anymore. You know, 1788, they knew that, you know, the rights of the people were being given away with the federal government. We need to strip the federal government of pretty much every power. They need to just defend the borders and work out trade between us and other nations. That's it. The federal government doesn't need to be in our lives. The federal government doesn't need to be part of our lives. They need to have very simple jobs to do. And the states should then, you know, work out what they want to do. But here, you know, Mason said, "The necessity of the Bill of Rights appears to me to be greater in this government than ever it was in any other government before." And we've talked about this in the other past Sledgehammer shows, and you can go to sledgehammershow.com and watch them. But the Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. A moral and religious people. So Ben, you know, what are you seeing in what Mason wrote there about, you know, our rights are being given away? Is that ever apparent today more so than ever before?
I definitely agree. It's more so apparent today than ever before. I mean, these people knew what, you know, corrupt government was. These people knew that in order for us to survive our freedom, that these laws, bylaws, articles of rights needed to be established. You know, this nation needed to be founded on those principles, because if not, we would have wound up just like every other country in the world. You know, you go to Cuba, the poor people can't eat steak because it's too expensive, you know, in North Korea, you know, they eat whatever the government gives them. You know, they have to do whatever the government tells them to do. You know, in China, we see the uprising of the people in China because they're tired of being pushed around and being told what they can and cannot do. You know, God made us free. He gave us free will, you know, but because, you know, we have sold our freedom for a little bit of security and peace, you know, what happened to the 6 million Jews, you know, in World War II? They gave up their guns for protection because they figured the government was going to protect them, you know? And what happened? You see in documentaries how the Nazis were shooting them in the middle of the street, like if they were stray dogs. You know, this is something that should be an up, you know, should be an should go viral. People should be you know, protesting this, but they don't. They don't, because it never affected them directly, you know. But it's affecting them indirectly now, because, like, you know, the statement said, those who fail to study history are doomed. Okay, not they might, but they are doomed to repeat it, and they will repeat it, and it will be repeated until we put a stop to it. How do we put a stop to it? Teshuva. Teshuva. Every time that the nation of Israel turned back to God in Kings, Chronicles, and Judges, God blessed them. They prospered. Every time they turned their backs on God and turned to foreign gods, they went into captivity. God ordered us to tear down the standing poles. And what are we doing? We're allowing them to erect them right in front of our faces and in front of our God's face.
Let's go to our last part here before we close our show. Mason echoed Henry's fears that the federal government might swallow up all our rights. Wow, is that ever a prophetic statement? He worked with Patrick Henry on the proposed list of amendments to handcuff the new federal government's power. Well, they figured a way around it. And we are living really at the end of this nation. It is being flooded with illegal immigrants. We have a federal government that, you know, in San Francisco, not a federal government, but a local government there, wants to give away $5 million to every black person for reparations. That's not going to happen. And even to think about it is not going to happen. Okay? You were sold. The black person was sold by another black person that won the war. They were sold to, you know, they lost the war. And when you lose a war, you become a slave. Hey, we Jews know all about that. You know, figure 400 years to stay in Egypt, another 70 in Babylon, and countless other things, okay? So the thing is, we as a people, we need to go back to the words of God. You can't force people to believe in their heart, but you can force them to not be able to worship their God in your town, in your state, and in our country. This government and this country was given to us. This government was founded on people that believed and feared God. They fought for rights, and Mason and Henry knew that they had to handcuff the federal government or they would get out of hand. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring this information to you. If you want to watch any of the other shows, go to bgmctv.org. Watch a lot of teachings on scripture. You don't have to be Jewish to follow the Bible, but you need to be Jewish to get in heaven, or actually a Hebrew, one who crosses over. Believe and follow Messiah. Messiah has come. He's calling us back to his ways. For Ben Jimenez, and my name is Hanun Ben Moshe, and for Beth Glenn Messianic Congregation, until next week in the Sledgehammer Show, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to the Remnant's Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's bethgoyim.org. And click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnant's Call.
if you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture. Truly, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into His eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of His kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to Him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with a reading of the new week's parasha. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, YESHUA. Shalom.